Missing a voice from your airwaves lately? Maybe one that sounds like this?
I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Well, we have them for you once again. This is what we're calling the Dimsdale Report. Welcome to the Remarket Podcast. It's a behind-the-scenes look at Marketplace. And anybody who has followed the show for the past, say, 22 years should know the name John Dimsdale. We were sorry to see John leave this past summer, but today we're going to review and honor the career of the unflappable, the professional, the DC institution, the daily swimmer and home brewer of beer, by the by. We'll begin with some history back to the days of bell bottoms, skinny ties, and a guy by the name of Jim Russell.
I actually met John when he was kind of a little boy. Well, you know, I mean, I guess he was a young man, but he was just out at the University of Missouri, and he was in Washington as an intern at NPR.
Russell says he liked Dims and, in his words, suckered young John into joining a risky and cockamamie business show startup based out of some Southern California closet.
I assure John that his lack of knowledge about business and economics was just fine because none of us knew a damn thing about the subject matter. But that was okay because it was a show for non-business people who didn't know anything either about business and economics, so they wouldn't catch us making fools out of ourselves. Besides, you know, I told John this would be a short-term gig because the show is surely going to fail after a year or two.
Good old John joined Marketplace during Bush 41, which is when he started hounding and begging these Washington loudmouths. I mean, sources. Of course, who was begging whom for a favor? Dimsdale practically made the career of a budget nerd named Stan Culliner.
John is one of the most relentless pursuers of interviews I've ever seen. He's tracked me down on trains heading to New York, on trains coming back from New York, at 4 o'clock in the morning, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, in between meetings, during meetings. I've just never seen anybody who has been so relentless and so successfully relentless at getting me to do interviews with him.
So here's the problem with Washington sources. They blur the line between reality and Dimsdale fantasy.
The strangest interview that John ever really got me to do was when I was being prepped for surgery. You know, I was literally about to be wheeled into an operating room when my cell phone rang. I hadn't handed it off to my wife yet, and it was John, and he needed 3 minutes to talk about something that had just happened on the budget. So even though I, you know, was starting to go under anesthesia, I was able to talk to John, and I have no idea what the topic was, but apparently he used it within minutes.
So my name is Jared Bernstein, and I'm gonna. Economist here in Washington for many a year. I've had a long history of talking to John, probably going back about 15 years. There are numerous times where John would call, particularly on the jobs day, the day the jobs numbers were released, both when I was in the private sector or working for the government. And I was always in a terrible crunch those days. And John very nicely expressed that he didn't care how busy I was. We were going to talk about this.
Of course, budget and economic folks are not the true windbags of D.C. John knows who they are. He's seen them come and go. Bradley and Moynihan, Greenspan, Rosti, Kasich, Newt, Archer, Dingell, Rangel. Oh, Charlie Rangel. Dimsdale perfected the art of interpreting the gobbledygook that politicians threw at the airwaves. And as he tells it, he even gave a crack at learning Alan Greenspan's legendary Fed speak.
In the early days, before electronic filing, the wire service reporters would be in the back of a hearing room, and the Fed chairman would, in response to some question, say something that to most people hearing it was very innocuous. Reporters in the back would immediately stand up and run out of the room. The rest of us would sort of like, now, wait a minute, what did he – did he just say something that we should have known was important?
And yet, over the years, how in the world could he do his job amid all these office moves?
I remember roaming buildings in Washington with John, looking at space for the D.C. Bureau for Marketplace, which seemed we seemed to keep getting thrown out of our space because we were so small. We were always subletting. As such a subletter, we were kind of invisible, and we had a really awful Marketplace sign made that looked so tacky, and John kept putting it up wherever he was office just to put up a signpost.
Not to mention the tacky Marketplace clock. For a few years, it hung at 1333 H Street, a very special place. But first, the numbers. Oh, yeah, the happy music. Here you go. John Dimsdale commuted into the Bureau for 22 years. That comes out to approximately 1,100 weeks of work, 3,142 spots, 567 features, and by our math, 5,700 minutes of Dimsdale radio. In the course of those years, the Dow Jones Industrial Average grinded out, listen to this, 10,683 points, 370% is the gain. The S&P 500 rang up 1,072 points, 380%. The NASDAQ boomed and busted up 2,600 points, 505%. The Dimsdale years saw Pfizer and Cisco join the Dow 30, Eastman Kodak and Honeywell all out, and E.F. Hutton, MCI, Woolworth, and Enron all disappeared. Bond yields fell. The 30-year note dropped from 8.5 to 3%. And this is Marketplace.
I read the news today, oh boy, about a lucky man who made the grade.
Truth be told, we needed Dims. The first year of Marketplace didn't have a D.C. bureau, so coverage of the Capitol was lacking, as John himself points out.
Sooner or later, every story in the world comes through Washington. There's a Washington angle to it.
And so the Bureau expanded through the 90s. The H Street years of the D.C. Bureau hosted a rather youthful set, at least according to a then 27-year-old Amy Scott, now our education correspondent.
John basically had an office the size of a closet, and then there was a slightly larger closet outside of that where Steve Henn and I worked together. And I think Steve would agree that sometimes it probably seemed like John was the only adult in the room. I, at one point, brought a hula hoop to the office, and Steve and I would go out in the hall and hula hoop to let off steam. And John was always gracious. I don't remember him closing the door very often, though he had one.
As always, Dims took care of his own, and no, I don't mean his coworkers. I mean his kid. Who else carves out time during work hours to hire a lovely British intern and only introduces her to Taylor Dimsdale? Smells like an antitrust inquiry to me.
John mentioned to me that he had a son about my age, so he introduced us after work. And I remember I wrote in my diary that day that John was going to introduce me to his son and that I was hoping his son was just like John, except younger and not married and handsome.
He sent me an email probably first of all and just said, you know, there's going to be this new Marketplace intern and she's British, she's moving over from London, and she's, it sounds like she's about your age, and it seems like a good idea if we get you guys together.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were older, then we wouldn't have to wait so long?
We went out for St. Patrick's Day, and my sister,
with my friends,
with Taylor's friends, but me and my sister had gone for a drink before work, which John was very in favour of.
He even told me he was very impressed with that.
It says a lot about John that he was pro his intern drinking before work.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could wake up in the morning?
And then we dated for a bit before, I think, before John knew about it, I think.
I think it was pretty clear early on my dad was very proud of himself for having made the connection. It says a lot about him. I think he's a very generous guy.
We were married by Susan Stamberg, who is an NPR legend. So
there was good public radio representation with Marketplace at the core.
It was a Marketplace match.
Finally, tonight, it's been tough for the staff to recall Dims truly making a fool of himself. Not that we haven't tried.
I've been racking my brain for an embarrassing Dimsdale story to share, but here's the thing. I don't have one. He doesn't embarrass himself.
Not that we haven't come across a good zinger here and there.
I guess I always felt that he was misnamed because there's really nothing dim about him.
But truth be told, he's above all a character man.
I'm Corb O'Connor, and I was a Marketplace intern. As a blind person, when you go to apply for any kind of internship or job, there's this pink elephant in the room, and I would say, now, you may have noticed I'm blind. What questions can I answer for you about how I'll do the job or about how I do anything? And when I asked John that question, he said, you know, I don't have any questions. He said, I had polio as a kid, and I walk with a limp. I figure you've adapted just like I have, and you got here, I figure you'll figure things out and you'll tell me what we need to do differently.
I love that you were one of the first interns in NPR history, and that you helped me become a better reporter and producer when I was just a young pup coming up at Marketplace, and you've helped me become a better editor when I've worked with you on the overnights. One of the things I'll always be happy about and remember is that I got to work with you over an extended period of time in a number of roles, and know that you're already missed around here.
I feel really lucky to have worked with John at such an early point in my career. I've learned a lot from him about objectivity and professionalism, and why it's always good to schedule a happy hour with your fellow reporters.
John was and is one of the hardest working, most dedicated guys I've ever had work for me. He really gave his all to Marketplace for 22 years, and I thank him sincerely for every year of that tenure. John is smart, he's funny, he's dedicated, he's a real pleasure to work with, and I wish him nothing but the absolute best in the future.
I can't believe I got paid to do it.
And that is Marketplace, the Dimmesdale years, so far at least. This Remarket podcast was produced by the D.C. Bureau, Nancy, Dave, and Scott, with the extraordinary recording and mixing work of Andrew Parsons. I'm Kai Rizdahl, and John, let me just say this. It's been a pleasure.